Amen, amen. Let's give a big hand to the volunteers and the teachers, right? Yes. And awesome worship. The worship leader texted me this week about how God's leading her, Sharon, to choose the song. And I felt the Spirit of God moving in the sermon, in the prayer. And let me tell you that every week, there's a lot of prayer and a lot of thought put into picking the songs so the Spirit of God can flow. So let's give a hand to the worship leader and the band there. Thank you so much. Yes. So in the past weeks, we are doing a series, Dreams Without Borders. In the past week, we have talked about 3 weeks now. We have talked about how we can fulfill our dream, right? We have talked about the God-sized dream. We have talked about the things that we can pursue and ask God to fulfill in our life. Today, we want to talk about God's dream, not our dream. Okay? We want to talk about God's dream. And you can ask me, Pastor, how do you know God dreams? You know, I'm telling you, I don't know how God dreams. Okay? But I want to talk about His original design and intent that we can see in the Word of God, His will. We ask, what is God's will? I want to know God's will. There are a lot of things that are in the Bible that expresses very clearly what the will of God is. Rejoice in the Lord. Okay, that is the will of God. Thessalonians. Rejoicing in the Lord is a will of God. If you didn't know that when you rejoice in the Lord despite your circumstances in life, that is the will of God. So I want to talk about today God's dream without borders and salvation for all humankind. That's where we want to go. So there are four truths on God's design, God's dream, that humankind are created for God's glory. That's the first one. The second one is that we are created for God's pleasure. And the third one is we are created to rule with God. That's His dream. The fourth one, of course, is that we are created for eternity. Okay? So we will look at these four things. And then you can add on. You can have your add-on. Pastor, I can add on these things. And that is good. That's the intent, that the Spirit of God will work with you today as we look at the Word of God. This week has been very challenging for me as I pray and prepare the sermon. And also very encouraging. I have had a lot of people come to me privately, and they have come to talk about their lives. How can they better their lives? How can they pursue God's dream? How can they go for the things that God has called in their lives? How can they overcome their doubts and their fears? The thing is, when you meet a lot of people all through the week, then you don't have a lot of time to prepare the sermon, right? And I learned this long time ago in my very, very early stage of ministry, that I was preparing the sermon. A gentleman came into my office and sitting in the couch. I'm working on the sermon and I'm thinking, okay, when is he going to leave? I got to finish the sermon, right? He sat there for about 30, 35 minutes. It was just yes, no, yes, no, you know? And then he left. Okay, you're busy, I'm going to leave. And God hit me right there, you know? You're here to serve people. Not your sermon. Right there on my chair. I stood up. I ran out to see whether he was still there. But he has gone already. So when a lot of people come to me looking for wisdom, direction, encouragement, that's my sermon. It's about people. You are here. We want to talk about our lives and how faith is relevant in our lives. And you may say, Pastor, we didn't get all the exegesis done right. Where's the context and the content? You know, this is not a seminary class, right? You're not going home to write a research paper. You know, if you want that, I can help you privately. But today I want to talk about life. What's happening within our midst? I want to get real. Be authentic. And as you know, my sermon comes from who I am. That I am a husband. That I'm a father, that I am a servant of God. And my sermons revolve around that because that's who I am. It doesn't mean that your life is not a part of it. But when I speak as a husband, it's how God's dealing with me. When I speak as a father, it's how God's dealing with me. When I speak as a pastor, that's how God's dealing with me. You can be a doctor. You could be a teacher. You could be a nurse. You could be working in a tech company. You can be an insurance salesperson. You can be an army. You can be in military. Wherever you are, if your message comes from where you are, that's authentic. So when I talk to you as a husband and a father and a pastor, it doesn't mean that you're not part of the story, but you can relate your own story within the story. Because God is bigger. God's story is bigger than all of us. I want to share this story with you. So I went to a funeral, right? And that's the coffin of the little baby that I did a funeral. Very small, very tiny, premature born. How do you relate to them when they ask you, Pastor, why is this happening? Why God allowed this to happen? That you can't hold your own baby to grow, to see them laugh, smile, pursue their dreams in life. Why is the baby's dream cut short by God? That's what people ask. There are no answers to give. This baby was prematurely born, was it 5 months, 3 months? I'm not very sure now, but it's very tiny. I can put it in the palm of my hand. And I pray. I pray with the parents, pray with the families. But one thing was very clear as we stood there in the funeral ground, that I was able to testify about the purity, the innocence of this baby to the people that were there. That if you're looking for a piece of heaven on this earth, this is what it is. This child represents all purity, all innocence, all that is noble, all that is untainted by the evil of this world. And say, if we have to enter the kingdom of God, we must become like this little one. So maybe God's design for this little baby was to testify the purity, the innocence, the nobility, and the honor of a human being and a human body. And we took a lot of faith and courage. Later on, they came to me and said, Pastor, thank you for reminding of us. So it's not how long we live. We could live for 100 years, for 80, 90 years, and not testify the goodness and the honor and the glory of God. But we could live for a day and still glorify the Lord. It's not how long we live, right? It's not how long we live. It's how we live. It's how we live. So what is this God's dream without border for us? We look at the first one, is that God created us for His glory. See? And how will that happen then? See, make God the center of your pursuit. You make God the center of your pursuit. So I'm talking about this baby prematurely born. And God has a plan for that prematurely born baby. And God has a plan for an 89 years old or a 90 year old. Two Sundays ago, many of you noticed that there was somebody that came forward sitting on a wheelchair, pushed by a nephew and a wife and others coming forward. And we are praying at the well. By the way, if you're new, we call this place the well. The well is no place of judgment, no prejudice. You come as you are to the Lord and we pray for you. If you want to reconnect to God, give your life to Christ, pray for healing, sorrows that you're going through. After the service, this is the place where you come. And many people have encountered God and touched by the Holy Spirit in this place where we pray. And I offer that to you. It's a free offer to come to God. But two Sundays ago, the man came on a wheelchair here. Somebody tapped on my shoulder as I was praying with somebody and said, "Can you give me a second? Let me pray and come over." And I knelt down and said, "How can I pray for you? What is it that I can pray for you?" Because I've prayed for that gentleman before. And he said, "I want to give my life to Christ." He blew me away. I knelt down. I was so excited. I said, "Really? You want to give your life to Christ? Are you sure?" And he was fumbling by the side, and we're trying to help something, but he was looking for a Kleenex box. And he pulled out a Kleenex box and he wiped his tears. Then I knew, yes, the Spirit of God has touched this man. Man doesn't just cry for a reason, or a woman for that matter. His name was Mel. Mel passed away in his sleep Friday night. But he's with the Lord, because he has a plan for him, just as he has a plan for this little boy. God's dream is without borders, not just locational, geographical borders. God's dream is without borders of age. There is no age barriers for God's dream. He wants everyone to be safe. This is the greatest good news. And when people talk about salvation and heaven and hell, you guys are just so crazy and weird. No, this is the best news for you. The life that will give you peace, shalom peace, wholeness, wholesome peace, that will turn into the person that you will be. That's God's dream for you. Don't you want to be whole? Don't you want to be healed? Don't you want to be able to live and walk in wholeness above your circumstances? That your circumstances in life is not dictating how you treat your children, your friend, your wife, your husband. But it comes from who you are because of the overflowing peace that is within you. The wellness that is within you. That you are so contagious of God's hope, peace in the world that needs it. See, everyone who is called by my name, whom I have created for my glory, I have formed him, yes, I have made him. You were created for God's glory. What's the meaning of glory in the Bible? Not in the dictionary. In the Bible, one of the words for glory is honor. Honor. Right? So your image, which is the body, is a glorious evidence of God. If we do not honor God with our body, we cannot honor God with our lips. This week was challenging for me, right? Because one of the things that stayed with me was this guy, a stepfather, who has been sentenced to 100 years in prison. What happened was, he was taking this three-year-old stepdaughter and threw the stepdaughter in the swimming pool repeatedly. And the three-year-old was trying to stay afloat in the water. Right? Repeatedly, and he drowned her in the swimming pool. I couldn't watch the video. I couldn't even read the whole thing. But I'm thinking, how can this happen? How can this happen? Where is the honor? You were created for God's glory, for God's honor. When a child look at you, does the child see you as honorable? Does every kid on the road, a stranger that walks by you, when they look at you, can they identify you and say, "This guy is an honorable man. This woman is an honorable man"? that they can see God's glory in you, because you honor other people through your body, through your action, through your attitude. A young boy committed suicide because he was bullied. I read that also this week. How are you guys in the school and college honoring God? Because your body is an evidence of God's glory. How are you honoring in your classrooms, outside the classroom, when you're playing soccer, football, in the band, just hanging out? Can your friends look at you and say, this is an honorable girl, this is an honorable friend? How would it turn that a person that could be in your group be committed suicide the next day? Where is the honor there? God's dream definitely is not for him to commit suicide. But it's how we are not getting what God is teaching us to do. For example, some of your friends are cutter, right? Some of your friends are cutter. They cut in the bathroom, they shut themselves, they cut. Why do you think they are cutters? Because somebody has dishonored them as a daughter, as a friend. And the only thing they can suit themselves is to cut and feel the pain in their hand, on their hand, on their body, that will alleviate the pain that is going through in their heart. Your image is a glorious evidence of God. If we do not honor God with our body, we cannot honor God with our lips. See, God's dreams is without borders. His love is for the brown, the black, the white, whatever color, it's the same. No kids should be less loved because of a color. No adult should be less welcome because of a color. No one should be less welcome, less encouraged and affirmed and lifted up in this church because of a color. And if you get offended because I say that in this church we welcome people of all nations, of all colors, of all class, and of all race, if you're offended by that, we may honor God with our lips, but we are not honoring by how we live. This church is for all nations. Of all nations. God loves us all. You know, today we want to think about this because there are serious things happening at home, in schools. And God calls upon all of us to step up so we can lift those who are down and out. I mean, they are down and out already there. You don't have to kick them. They're down and out already. Why do you have to kick them? All they need probably is for us to stretch our hand, or he or she may receive it. Wouldn't it be glorious that we lift up a brother or a sister that is down and out? Wouldn't it be great that this place is for people that are down and out? And they find hope, acceptance, affirmation of who they are in this place. We are created for God's pleasure. And make God the center of your desire. Make God the center of your desire. Let's go to Revelation. And this is beautifully described. You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you have created all things, and for your pleasure they are and were created. We are all created for God's pleasure. Right? Not for our own pleasure. What does it mean? It means man is not the center of God's glory. See? God is the center of our story. It's not about us. Your kids, you were kids before too. You remember when you were young and when you were alone, you haven't seen your mom and dad. And then you see them. For no reason, we are so excited, right? We run to them and hug them whether they give us things or not. We're just happy to see and run to our parents. Such joy, right? So today, we're going to reverse that. I'm a father now. When I come home, or when I go to school to pick up my daughters or my kids when they were young, what do they do? When the moment they see me, what do? They run, oh, daddy, daddy, right? I mean, there's nothing special about me. I don't know about that. Right? I'm not bringing gifts and things, but my sons and my daughter, they're excited to see me and my wife. Just such pleasure that they give because of being wanted. That's how God created us. When we go to Him for His pleasure. Abba, Father. Father, I run to you. You're a good, good Father. Loving God, Almighty God, I run to you. Such pleasure we give to Him when we do that. He created us for His pleasure. We are made and created in splendor. See, the other word for glory is splendor. Dignity is the other word. Honor. Abundance, you know. I mean, when you look around and you say, oh, I'm born in the wrong place at the wrong time. Okay? I shouldn't be born here. I shouldn't be born this way. You know, you are a person of splendor. God just make you right as who you are. You know, I complain about, well, oh, I could be taller. I'm short. But I'm created with splendor, with honor and dignity, abundance in me, because I have the image of God. I'm created for His pleasure. And when I run to God every day, when I run to Him any moment, He has such delight and pleasure in me. I hope you know that. That God takes great delight in you, great pleasure in you. That He's so honored when you run to Him. But we don't think about those things most of the day. Life catches up on us. Circumstances, bills to pay, problems at home, school. And we forget that we are created in splendor. We are created in His glory. We are created in His honor. With His honor, we have the dignity of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And we walk on this earth defeated, downcast. We can't look up. And who is happy? The enemy is happy. Because the enemy comes to destroy, to steal, and to rob of our glory, of our honor, of our dignity, of our abundance that we have in Christ, of our splendor, and give us this broken image. God's dream for us. I hope we see ourselves as God sees us. I hope we see ourselves as God sees us. That we understand our lives through the eyes of God. That you are such a delight to Him. That you are such a delight to Him. That you are such a pleasure to Him. Just imagine the pleasure you get out of your children running to you, calling you mom, dad. The first time your child calls you papa or daddy, dada, right? You argue, no, he called dada first. No, he called mama first, you know? Right? Such joy that God has such joy. We are created to rule with God. Make God the center of your influence. You see, when you go back, then God said, let us make man in our image. According to our likeness, let them have dominion over the fish, birds in the air, creeping things on earth. Dominion to rule. And how do we do this? The right to become his child is the right to rule with him. Don't you know that you're going to judge angels? Right? 2 Timothy. Don't you know that you will judge the angels? We are going to judge the angels. God has so much respect for you. God gives you so much authority. God puts you in a high place. God puts you in a special place to even judge the angels in the coming days. But we stoop down from there and we judge one another based on the color, based on class, based on where we come from, based on where we live. We call names at each other. This honorable thing comes out of our mouth. Degrading things comes out of our mouth. Where is the honor? From lofty place to a place, to a lowly place. Not knowing where we stand with God. That God has such wonderful dreams for us. We are created for eternity with God. Make God the center of your existence. This is where I want to come to. So, first thing is that you were created for his glory, right? What's the second one? You're created for his pleasure. What's the third one? You're created for to rule with him, right? For glory, for his pleasure, to rule with him. All these things hang on this. You're created for eternity. Make God the center of your existence. It says, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who desires all men, all humankind to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. It is God's desire, God's dream that all of us are saved and come to the full knowledge of God. See, the horror of hell has no dominion over the honor of heaven. But we live based on the horror of hell. Every day we see the horror of hell in our daily life, in the news. You read about it. We don't talk about the honor of heaven. The joy of heaven, that heaven is in my heart. When Solomon built the temple, and you read in Kings, and when he has completed the temple, and he dedicated and he prayed, and he prayed to God, and this is what he said, when the stranger come and pray in this temple, that you will bless them. See? You know where I'm getting it, okay? Because the temple was built primarily for whom? For the Jew. It wasn't for the Gentile. But when Solomon blessed the temple, he foresaw that foreigners are going to come from afar, and that when they come to pray in the temple, that God will listen to their cry and pray for them. And bless them. Well, let's go back to Exodus. When Moses led the people out of Egypt of slavery, God came to remind them in Exodus 20, 21. You read it, and this is what it says. It says, remember, you treat strangers kindly because you were a foreigner in Egypt once. God's plan for salvation was already included from the beginning. He's already making way for foreigners like us to come within the fold of the kingdom. Okay? From Exodus. Come back to Solomon, the first temple, he prayed that people will come and worship the Lord. Now you go to Isaiah, and Isaiah said, my house shall be called the house of prayer for all nations. And Jeremiah said, but you made it a den of robbers, of thieves. This is our prophet talking about. When fast forward, and Jesus came, and when he came to Jerusalem, why was he angry? He was angry that the people had made the temple of God a den of robbers, a den for thieves. And he came, flipped the table, the coins, and he said, this house is supposed to be a house of prayer of all nations. The salvation plan is for everybody, not only for the Jew, but for Gentiles like us, for the Samaritans, for the Greek, Romans. I don't know where you came from today. What was your original family that came from, migrated here? You were born here. I don't know where you came from, but we all came from different places. But God's desire is that all of us, all our families, all your friends are saved, that they enter the kingdom of God. We should not be ashamed to talk about the great news that they can live eternally with God. Because all religion, I know in Chinese, ancient China, or ancient India, or ancient Babylon, the three great civilizations, all civilizations of the time, what do they look for? What was the common theme? They were all looking for immortality. They were hunting for the elixir, trying to get the elixir to drink that they will not die. The kings were looking that they want to live forever. The mummies, this is about afterlife. They had the desire to live forever. And we have the secret here this morning, that there is a secret, not so secret if we share it, that man can live forever. That God has a plan for eternity for all of us. That we can live in wellness, in peace, without pain, sickness. No sorrow, no tears. Is there anyone out there that loves sorrow, that loves pain, that loves death, that loves tears? Is there anyone out there? Oh, I love tears. I love sorrow. You know, I love to live in pain. I like dying. Is there anyone out there? Have you heard from anyone? No, if you have not heard that, tell them the good news that they can live forever in eternity. That God offers these things for them. Isn't that what is it about? God's dream? Not to hammer them with religion, not to hammer them with church, not to hammer them with institution, but to give them a piece of heaven on earth. That when they look into your eyes, they can see the windows of heaven through you. If you treat everybody, regardless of where they come from, where they are, and who they are, and if you can look into their eyes and see heaven in their eyes, you will honor that person. Do you see heaven in the eyes of people that you connect with, or you can't even look into their eyes? You're too busy because you got to get somewhere. You know? You're on your phone all the time. You're playing things. Hello, hi, bye. Where is the compassion and care for people then, if there is no connection? Somebody just need a hello and bye. Have a great day. Not to make poor choice and bad decision. You can save somebody from jumping off the bridge by telling them, hey, how are you doing today? Have a great day. We don't have time to do that. We zip in here and zip out of here. Right? We don't even know the names of people that are here. You've been coming here for 10, 15 years. This is real. Real stuff. Not trying to make you uncomfortable. But I want us to love one another. That when people look at us and say, these are authentic, real people. They have real issues, real problems. They're going through the same life that I'm going through. But there's something about them. There's something about them. That they have something in their heart that I want to have. And they come to you and say, what is it that you have? Then share the good news. Offer the good news to them. That God has a plan. That He wants you to be well. that he wants you to be well.